Okay, I'm wearing a new mic today, so I see it's working well. But at the present time, my brains are frozen as to what to do next. I have been spoiled rotten with ShareHim because they made all the film scripts and they did everything. Only thing I would have to do is edit the information. Okay, maybe I'm ready now. And this is the first time in years I've tried to do the pictures and put everything together for a presentation. So pray for me, as this has really been a challenge. Ever since I've been back, the devil been beating me down. Somebody backed into my car and drove off, and my blood pressure's been running high. And this morning, it's like one step below the red mark. But nevertheless, I'm going to prevail because God said, go and do, and he will take care of the rest. So my theme is share him and growing in grace. If it's next, we have a share him theme. This is the theme that we do every time, every night of the meeting, maybe for one or two exceptions. And I would like for all of us to read it together. If it's in the Bible, I want it. If it's not in the Bible, it's not for me. Now, is that not simple enough? And it's easy to remember. Before I get into my slides and all the pictures of the different things that we did with ShareHim, I have been given some notes that God wants me to share with you. And hopefully they will not be too long. But I feel as though that the word has to be revealed. So we have to say what he tells us to say and do what he tells us to do, or we will pay the penalty. And then on top of that, I have 3-4 pair of glasses and still having glass issues, seeing issues. But if Wilhelmina will remember the times that we started ShareHim, when ShareHim first started, I don't know how many years ago, maybe she can remember, when Falkenberg was president of the Carolina Conference. Now, you know that he passed this year. And so ShareHim have grown to be another part of my life. They would call and ask whether or not I would go. And the last time I said, no, I cannot go. I don't have the money. And then within 12 hours, 6 hours, my niece called me and asked me would I do some substitute teaching. And would you believe she quoted me the exact amount of money that I needed to go. So how can you say no when God is so good? One point I want you to remember is that Jesus has special work for you and for me to do in the church. Yes, the physical church and the spiritual church. We can all share him with our family, our neighbors, and even strangers. We will talk more about that later, but first, let us which will bring us to the heart of today's message. In Matthew 28:18-20. Excuse me, I'm still having glass problems. I tell you, I found the best rewards in these dollar glasses. You spend all this money going to the doctor, and they give you these bifocals and all, everything, but nothing works as well as the dollar ones. So I have a wider perspective of reading. Okay. Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you promised that you would be with me always. And your presence here today testifies that you are with us. Even though Satan does not want this message to come forward, I really don't understand, but I'm here doing as you asked me to do. You have directed my path in sermon preparation. You had made this message possible. We thank you for being an on-time God. We thank you for all that you do for us, especially your Son, who is our example. We thank you for your help and for your Holy Spirit, who teaches us all things. And I beg upon him this day to help me to deliver this message that he has given me. And in Jesus' name, I pray these things. Also, Lord, I pray for an extra utterance that I may open my mouth boldly to make known to my brothers and sisters the message you have given, and to share Jesus with them. And it is in his name I pray. Amen. The Bible makes it clear that we are all sinners. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. Even people we hold in high esteem. The Apostle Paul's unquestionably one of the greatest of apostles, admitted having shortcomings. In 1 Timothy 1:15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." The Bible says in Romans 3:28, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." This means that God accepts us right now, not because of how we keep his law, but because of Jesus. Despite how sinful our life may have been, but because of Jesus, we are accepted by God as if we've never done anything wrong. Isn't that a wonderful truth? This is why the word gospel means good news. We are not saved by keeping the law, but we keep the law because Jesus has already, what? Saved us. And because we are saved by Jesus, we love and want to obey him. 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep the commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Follow Jesus, who says, "I am the way, the truth, and the light." John 14:6. We have a prophetic movement with a wonderful message for the world, the message of the cross and salvation, a message that tells us Jesus is coming back soon, and that he has a home in heaven for you and for me. Isn't that just glorious? Sometimes we talk about what our house will look like or what we're going to do, but we know it's going to be far more exotic than we can even imagine. It is a great privilege to know these things. It is a great privilege to be able to minister to others. It is a great privilege to share him. In Guatemala, this is a picture showing one of the trips that we made within Guatemala. Most of you think that Guatemala is a very hot country. And when we got into the airport at Guatemala, the temperatures are between 90 and 100 plus degrees. So, you know, it was very hot. We were beginning to understand this in the past few days of how hot it's been. But it was, to me, very hot. Then we had a 6 to 8 hour bus trip up the mountain. This is in itself was a scary trip because those people in foreign countries, they drive mad. You think it's mad here in New York and Atlanta and stuff like that? Oh, it is worse. You have like 4 lanes and 6 cars trying to go down 4 lanes, you know, make your hair stand up on the back of your neck. But nevertheless, our destination was to go to the hotel that we were staying in Coban. And this was all the way up the mountain. And the temperature there was not the same. If you notice, we have on jackets and coats up there. And the highlight of it was, it was so beautiful when the sun came up. We went all the way up there, and when the sun came up over the ridges of the mountains, they all started taking pictures. And the other exciting thing was the waterfall in the park. And so here, they jumped in the lake of the water. Everyone jumped in the water except who? Me. No, that wasn't for me. I wasn't quite that hot. So I let them do that. But every place, they had all types of transportation. And in most cities, the rush hours were hectic. It was nothing to see a family of 4 or 5 people on one moped, a motorcycle. You had the father with one on his knee, and then the one between the mom and the dad, and one on the back of the mom or on the chest, what have you. But they knew how to economize. This is my church in San Cristobal, too. And this was the last meeting. You see me over there in the corner, all washed out and tired. This is the head elder who organized the meetings where his family led out and setting up the site. This is the older son who opened up the building and set up the equipment, and he also sang. In fact, his entire family could sing. He had 6 boys and 1 girl. The pastor, this is a picture where the pastor was wrapping it up on the last session after baptism. One of the things here, the pastor who spoke Spanish also needed an interpreter because there were another dialect that was a little different from the regular Spanish. So this is why we have so many different languages, over 800 or something, because even though Spanish is spoken very broadly, they have so many different dialects and interpretations. So the interpreter needs an interpreter. This is Pastor Israel Mora from the Hispanic churches in North Charleston and Hilton Head area. He lives in Bluffton, but he somewhat was our translator, the group translator. And also, you can see he helped to coordinate our meals. The next picture is the family, very lovely family, who served us 3 meals a day in their home, and that in itself was a beautiful experience. Here we have a group hug. The head elder with his wife. And Pastor Mortar is there because we were both shipped off. Let's see, it was about a 20 or 30 minute ride from Caban to San Christopher. And he was at church one, and I was at church two. He didn't need a translator because he's Hispanic. And this is my main church supporters. They were my back and bone. This on the left is my translator, who was also a former minister, but he left the ministry to do carpooler work because he said his children needed him at home more, especially at their age, young age. And this was my angel. Her name was Go Silver, like gold and silver together. And she helped me to get to church and get back to my pickup. And I have my computers and everything in tote bags with wheels, but the wheels didn't help because it was a dirt road and quite bumpy. So she helped me greatly in struggling down the street and back with my gear. Here we have a dinner that was prepared for us by a wealthy lady in Caban. She had a city home and a country home. She carried us to her country home and she made us a feast and a half. She dressed us up in our skirts and white and traditional costumes, and she fed us royally. This picture here is on the right. You have Anita's translator. Anita is one of the speakers that was with me. Her translator was deported from the United States because of gang membership and what have you. And as translator, he himself was converted and baptized at the end. So God steadily works. Here again is just a little snapshot of the corner of the master bedroom of the lady, which is at the bottom. There she is, the owner who has set us up so lavishly. Here we have the men that mostly, he gave them bags and scarves. And this is a group of most of us in Guatemala, where we took a walk in the park. They had a very nice park in this city, which was very interesting. And this, you see, is an empty street, but it has a story. Our hotel was on the corner of a busy intersection. As we were leaving to cross the street, I was getting behind. So I ran across the intersection before the cars. I had traveled this route before and noticed that there was an iron pipe protruding up out of the pavement. So naturally, I wasn't thinking. I ran out, but the devil had a trap for me. I stumbled and fell. And I was going so fast, I fell not just flat, but I fell and rolled over into the street. And then, by God's grace, my angels, my heavenly angels and my humanly angels, they were surrounding me, sending the cars away and protecting me from being totally demolished, because those cars had no mercy. It seemed like they would turn that corner on two wheels and keep on going, you know. They don't even slow up for the red light. And don't let it be on green. So naturally, I just praise God. I knew he had me there for a purpose, and I know that he was keeping me for a purpose. And so that's one of the things that Guatemala did for me, my work and my experience there, tells me that God loves me and He has a work for me to do. That's why He spared me. Here again is Pastor Mortar. And what we need to say here, follow Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We have a prophetic movement with a wonderful message for the world, the message of the cross of salvation, a message that tells us Jesus is coming back soon and that He has a home in heaven for us. Isn't that just glorious? The name It is a great privilege to know that these things, that the heavenly angels will always be there to protect you, and that He gives us a great privilege to be of aid to minister to others. And it is a great privilege to share Him. And this is the way it has been all through Bible history. God always had people who proclaimed the gospel. Even Noah. You know what Noah did? He was a preacher, and he preached the word. But he sinned. He got drunk and showed himself naked to his family. That was a no-no. But yet, he preached the word, and no one listened other than his family. And that's who was saved. What about King David? He had a man killed. And then he married his wife. He's a murderer. But look what he did. From a leader of God's chosen people who were called to proclaim the truth of salvation to the world. Now, it is always easier to pick on folks in the Old Testament, but what about the New Testament? Right from the start of the church, that Jesus himself raised up, many problems occurred from such as prejudice. Now, in those days where the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by Hellenites because of their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And we call this conflict, the church leaders begin to fight over how best to work for the Lord. So what is this point? All this confusion. The point is simple. God is perfect, but God's people are not perfect. But He loves us anyway. Yes, we have learned the gospel from the Word of God, the Bible. In Costa Rica, we are part of a worldwide family. We had Share Him people come from California, from the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Heartlands. They came from all about. And Pastor Mortar also was with us. This is joy. Joy brought joy to the meetings with her singing and her smile and with her experiences. This is David. He was also with us in Guatemala. And David was the kind of person, if you ever been in a crowd and you ever hear somebody say, woo-hoo, that was David. Or that was somebody like David. Because at times, whenever I hear anybody go, woo-hoo, I say, okay, that's somebody like David. Here in Costa Rica, one of the things that they did, they carried us to a volcano. So here we are standing in front of, now this is what they told me, the world's largest volcano mouth open. And it is active, the smoke, because we had to go there at a certain time of the day so we can see it, because at other times there'd be so much smoke and stuff, you wouldn't be able to get up there. It'd be off limits. We went to a forest that had about 10 rain waterfalls and butterfly gardens and all different kinds of things to see there. But one of the highlights of the Costa Rica was the church. They carried us to the Seventh-day Adventist University. And also just the saints. Before we went out to our different churches, we would sit and talk and share with each other the different experiences. My family, it was one lady, she loved bringing me fruit. I have seen all types of exotic fruit. And I guess because I'm kind of healthy, she figured I love to eat. But I would be scared to eat most of it. And then some of it, I didn't know how to eat them, because it's not like just biting into an apple or pulling back and eating a banana. And I don't know the names of them. They would tell me, but I'm not Hispanic, so I couldn't translate or retain all the different names. But what I would do, I would bring my bag and bring it down to share with my coworkers, so they too could enjoy all the different treats of Costa Rica. And so, of all the things of Costa Rica was nothing like Guatemala. It was hot. But one thing I do remember, and the Lord brought back to my remembrance this morning about Costa Rica, every day between one and three, it will rain cats and dogs. Every day. And in the morning, the sky, the air would be so crystal clear. Everything looked like you were looking at a new picture. Everything fresh and alive. And so that was very, very rewarding. We are part of a worldwide family of more than 15 million people in more than 200 countries around the world. We are a church that speaks 885 languages, and we are growing larger every day. We are one of the fastest growing religious movements in the world, from a handful of people in the mid-1800s to more than 15 million worldwide today. A month from now, we will have more than 86,000 will be joined. This is our church. We have more than 500 hospitals, and most of you know all of this. Here is a picture of tours, trips, times I have a need to get away, so I just get on the bus and go. I ended up last year in Boise, Idaho. And in Boise, Idaho, Randy Maxwell and his beautiful wife has a church called Kena, Idaho. So I went to this church and visited them. And it was indeed beautiful, and it was awesome. The whole setup, they don't have services like we have them. They have the preaching first, and then they go, and then they have the break in between, and you can have snacks, and then they have Sabbath school, and then they have different types of Sabbath school lessons. They have the regular traditional Sabbath school lesson. Then they have one where almost like a book club, they're reading a certain book, and different things like that that was quite interesting. But the most things that I liked was what they had hanging up in their hallways. They had signs going. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28:19. That's me. giving. Give, and it will be given to you, Luke 6:38. So we can, if we give, sometimes you can't go. But what can you do? You can give. And by going and giving, that will create us to go, to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3:18. This in itself was very, very inspiring. Finally, this is a group of us. I tried to enlarge the picture, and you see, it did nothing but enlarged us. But I decided to leave well enough alone and not mess with that picture. But here we're in Pucallpa, Peru. And this is the personal ministries director of all the churches, and he's also was my translator for 5 days. I had translator problems. My first translator, she wanted to read my notes and translate them because she couldn't understand what I said. But then they carried me first to a little house with mostly about 18 or 20 little children, two adults, one male and one female. Then the next morning, Sabbath morning, they took me to this big congregation, and no one could translate. In fact, the translator had to have a translator. This girl would read what my notes and then tell her what to say. So finally, that night when Pastor Lenore came, and they were so helpful. They wanted to set me up and everything. And by the time they did it, they had everything just messed up. Couldn't get my projector to act right. I couldn't get anything to act right. And so I was standing there talking. We had two people down there translating to the translator to tell her what I just said. And so he came up and he helped me to end out the session. And so the next night, our personal ministry person took me away. This is the main part of transportation here. I'd never seen anything like it before. And it's very amazing where they come from. It's almost like, I want to say on a track or something. But these are motorcycles with carts on the back. And they were thick, you know, don't be standing in the intersection. And when the light turns green and they, you know, going off so fast. And if they didn't have this, they had motorcycles. Only people that had cars was the pastors, I think. That's the only people I was seeing cars. This was my site where I ended up my third night. Here we were setting up the PA system for night sermons, and preaching was quite challenging. I got, this was when we first started setting up, but the biggest problem I had preaching there, especially at night, was the bugs. They'd be flying and I'd be flipping my hair, you know. And I say, well, I must be doing good because else Satan wouldn't be bothering me like this. And so I went ahead and did what I had to do. And finally, I realized the situation on Sabbath. At the back of the yard was a building and a storage building, I thought. But they had a section of room big enough for the little pews to sit in. And so on Sabbath, I was able to go in that room and preach. And that way, the sun wouldn't be beaming down on me. But they were outside because at night it was cooler and they didn't have air conditioning and stuff like that. So I was learning. I was getting the message of the way of life there in Pucallpa. And it was extremely interesting. Here, another interesting sight, and I'll try to talk a little faster. They have two airplanes. They have one that on water and one air. And this is the pilot. He takes care of the airplanes. He knows how to work on them and everything. But his testimony was so great. All the people were standing looking. We were spellbound. Wow. And his stories of traveling the Amazon and helping people along the river, the indigenous people, it was like, wow, I want to help do that. But we cannot all go there, but we can send money to help, because the people there and the work that they are doing is fantastic, is fabulous. It is doing God's work, and they are meeting the needs of the people along the coast there. And finally, this is the man that set up everything for the past three trips on our Share Him. This is Pastor Lenore. And I was on time, I could catch him still. So he, after a big meal, he was there sleeping. So I said, okay, I will take your picture. And oops, I went too fast. Okay, other than that, this wraps it up where we have in Matthew 13:24. I'm not going to read that out of the Bible, but basically we have imperfect people in the church. The point is that we have wheat and tares. We read about this in Matthew 13:24-30. And he tells us, and he tells, within the parable, he tells his worker, do not separate the wheat from the tares, to let them grow together. And what they're going to do? At the harvest time, they're going to separate the wheat from the tares, and they're going to bundle up the wheat and burn them, and how y'all gonna let me sit there and do that? They gonna bundle up the tares. So I say they gonna bundle up the wheat. Y'all not listening. Y'all must be asleep. So I'm gonna wrap it up and let you go home and take your afternoon nap after you eat. But nevertheless, the wheat will be stored and the tares will be burned. But we are to do our parts. It is a very important part of God's special end time movement. He has something very special for us to do to help bring about his soon return, the return of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you will indulge me for a few minutes in closing, if you would please stand, I would like to invite all of you here today to stand up for Jesus, making a commitment that you will go wherever he sends you and you will do the task that he places before you. Yes, he knows your heart and mind and your physical abilities. His requests are not too great, but if they are, he will help you through it. Just trust him and share him. Father God, we thank you for your Son, who has won the victory over death for our sins. In the time that you have given each of us, help us to be diligent in whatsoever walk of life you shall lead us. Open and close the doors in the way you will have us to go. May we continue to grow in grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.